Folks, as we continue our study in America in the end times, I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. We'll get there in just a little while. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. America in the end times. I want to read a couple of verses in Isaiah 55 before we get to Romans chapter 11. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, the Bible says this: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And in Romans chapter 11, verse 33, the Bible says, "O the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever." Our basic premise for the study is a threefold statement of belief that we've given. Those three points are: America will exist as a world power and a friend of Israel until the rapture. After the rapture, America will fall overnight. And thirdly, America will be aligned with a coalition of the beast / Antichrist during the tribulation period. Folks, I believe there's three main reasons. We've already studied this. Three main reasons why God will continue to bless America until the rapture takes place. We've presented that and spent a considerable amount of time on it. I believe that America has done a better job than any nation ever has to receive the blessings based on the Abrahamic covenant. I believe that America, at least in the last 150 years, has done more than any other nation, and in some ways more than all other nations combined, to carry out and fulfill the Great Commission. I also believe that America has been a compassionate and peacemaking nation that has been without territorial ambition. Folks, there's never been another world power. There's never been another world power that has been like the United States, in that we have not conquered and then incorporated other nations under the heading of the United States of America. I believe that those three reasons are sufficient reasons to say that God will continue to bless America. However, if you were standing up here teaching me what I just said, I'd have some real serious questions long about right now. If you had been up here teaching the very same things that I've been saying, my mind would have been racing, and I would have been saying, "Now wait a minute, there's some things that need to be addressed here. There's some things that you're forgetting. There's some things that you're ignoring that need to be addressed." This is where we stopped last week, and we'll start in this place. There's some obvious and serious questions that need to be addressed at this point. Please keep this in mind. When I have said that America has done more and is doing more to receive God's blessings under the Abrahamic covenant, when I say that America has done more in the last 150 years to fulfill the Great Commission than any other nation, when I say that America has been a compassionate, peacemaking nation without territorial ambition, folks, I am not, are you listening? I am not saying that America is doing, or that America has done, all that she could do and all that she should do in relation to any of these areas. America has been blessed with more to do with than any other nation on the face of the earth. I found some statistics. Remember, statistics should always be questioned. I'm not even sure how to use them all, even after I find them. But I found some statistics on various things, and let me just throw out a couple of things. From one source, I found out that, from one of the mission boards, I found out that there's approximately 41,000 people in the United States that are in full-time Christian service. 41,000. I want you to hold that thought in your mind. There's about 41,000 people in the United States who are in Christian service. From another source, I have found out that in 1950, there were approximately 100,000 foreign missionaries. Since 1950 until today, now remember, the 41,000 people in full-time service that I've already given is a totally different source and statistic than what I'm giving you now. But I want you to hold that in mind, 41,000. In 1950, there were about 100,000 foreign missionaries. Every year since 1950, we have lost approximately 1,000 foreign missionaries. If you do the arithmetic on that, you would find out that today, that would leave about 40,000 full-time missionaries. And folks, lo and behold, that number and the other number from a totally different source are almost identical when you think about it in those terms. Folks, what I'm saying is we're not doing as much as we could do. We're not doing as much as we should do. From one source, I found out that there's approximately $6 billion given annually toward mission projects. Now, that's not all from independent Baptist churches, but a total of about $6 billion is given annually to go to further the work of foreign missions. Folks, when you take $6 billion and look at it as a percentage of a $13.78 trillion economy, that is truly a small amount indeed. I'm saying to you this morning, I've given some statistics, I've given my basis. I believe that America will stand as a nation and a friend of Israel until the rapture. But folks, I'm not saying that America is doing all that it should do today. What are some of the questions that ought to be in our minds right now based on what I've already taught? Well, one question comes up, and the question is, are we minimizing or ignoring the sins of America? Another question that comes to my mind is, how do we reconcile the promises of the Abrahamic covenant with the sin of America? How do you reconcile that? Another question that comes up, at what point does the sin of America override the promises of the Abrahamic covenant? I go back now to the verses that I read to start with. Folks, I can't know. I can't really know the mind of the Lord in all these things. There are certain things, there are certain glimpses of information and knowledge that God gives us in the Word of God. And I want to admit to you before I go any further this morning, I don't pretend to be able to know how to align all of these things up, but there are some thoughts that we can know that'll help us to have an understanding and come to some foundation that we believe concerning this. God's thoughts are far above my thoughts, and His ways are far above my ways. Who has been the counselor of God? The Bible asks in Romans chapter 11. The obvious question is no one has, and certainly there's never been a man that could be God's counselor. I want to be careful, therefore, about what I say here. I don't want to give the pretense that I know exactly how all of these things fit together and how God will work in all of these things, but I do want to examine them. I'll start by saying this. Folks, I believe that the basic principle accepted determines our ability and or our willingness to accept a certain point of view. Folks, it's that way in anything. We've got a big health care debate going on in America right now. And you know what? Your belief, your acceptance of whatever basic premise that you're, whatever side of that issue that you're on, your ability and will and our willingness to accept the things that are said about that are largely determined by where you started. In other words, you were willing to accept some basic issue or basic statement or basic belief, and based on that, you were willing or unwilling to accept other thoughts concerning that. It's the same way of this thing about blessing America. See, what I've taught is controversial. I mean, there are some places where they'd want to tar and feather me for me to stand up and say that I believe America will be a leading nation and a friend of Israel until the rapture. But nonetheless, I believe that. I'm truly convinced of that in my own heart and mind, folks. Whether you agree or not, that'll be up to you to determine. Let me give you two different bases here so you can understand what I'm talking about. Two different foundations. Here, let me make two statements. And we'll consider these as our foundation upon which to either accept or reject thoughts that are given. Here's one foundation. God, now listen to me, God is not true to His Word if He does not judge America for her sin. I've heard that preached ever since I was saved. I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior on February the 24th, 1974. Maybe not always in the same words, but I've heard preachers in independent fundamental Baptist churches stand and preach over all of these years something along those lines: God is not true to His Word if He doesn't judge America for her sin. By the way, folks, I actually agree to that to a large extent. Whoa, that sounds like a contradiction over what I've been teaching, doesn't it? It's not. Stay with me. Stay with me. Here's the other foundation. Here's the other foundation. America is fulfilling certain requirements that will bring the blessings of God. Now, you notice the difference there? You got two opposites, don't you? Two opposite foundations upon which to accept or reject the thoughts that are being given. One of the foundations is America, or God, is not staying true to His Word if He doesn't judge America. The other one is America is doing certain things that would bring it the blessings of God. You got two different foundations. Please keep this in mind. There's not any message where a preacher can deal fully with all that's brought out in that message. We all get tired of sitting, don't we? I admit it. I'm a preacher and I get tired of sitting too. But you know what? Preachers all the time make general statements that fail to convey all that they believe about a certain issue because there's simply not enough time to develop the thought fully. A lot of times when a preacher stands up, even though in one sense I totally disagree with this thought that says that God is not true to His Word if He doesn't judge America for sin, there's a sense where I disagree with that. But folks, there's also a sense where I do agree with it. It's according to what is meant. When we say judge America, do we mean remove America as a nation, as a world power? If that's what we mean, I disagree wholeheartedly. If we say, however, that God is not being true to His Word unless He judges America for sin, if we mean that God would bring some forms of judgment because of sin, I wholeheartedly agree with that. And I've already stated and spent a long time talking about it that I believe that America is fulfilling certain requirements that will bring the blessings of God. Now, concerning this matter of God judging, I want to say this. I believe that God is judging America today. I believe that God is judging America today in many ways and in many different areas. I don't have time to develop this. I really thought about spending several weeks on this, just to be honest about it, and I've decided against it, but I believe God is judging today. Let me briefly, well, I say briefly, I may not finish it today, but I mean, you know, that's as brief as I can get on it anyway, so, but I believe that God is judging today. I believe that God is judging today because of abortion. Because of abortion. Looked up some statistics on abortion. I looked up some statistics. In 1996, there were 1.37 million abortions in the United States. That was the high. Abortions have actually came down slightly in years since 1996. It's still well over a million a year in the United States. So folks, I don't want to make it sound like we're doing real good here. But in 1996, there was a high of 1.37 million abortions in the United States. Now listen to this. This ought to shake us all up. From 1973 to 2005, there were 45 million legal abortions in the United States of America. 45 million legal abortions in the United States of America. By the way, if society can become so calloused to the killing of our young, how much of a stretch is it to say that we could become as calloused toward the killing of our elderly? Some say, well, it could never happen in the United States. We could never come to the place where assisted suicide of the elderly would be legal and permitted and accepted and condoned and promoted. Oh, really? After 45 million plus legal abortions, where we have become totally callous toward the murder of our youngest segment of the population, why is it that we couldn't become as calloused toward the assisted demise of the elderly segment of our population? I need to read a couple of verses right here. Proverbs chapter 14. Bear with me, I'll find them as quickly as I can. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. In Psalm chapter 9 and verse number 17, the Bible declares there, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. You see, folks, I believe that America is under the judgment of God in many ways. And one of those reasons is because of this matter of abortion. I believe that another thing we look to is the AIDS epidemic to show that God is judging America. In Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 27, the Bible says, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and listening and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error that was meet. I believe that AIDS is a direct result of the judgment of God on the ungodliness of men. There's a lot could be said. We must be careful in mixed company. But what a horrible and a hideous thing. I believe that God is judging America. I believe that God is judging America because of turmoil and discontent that's all around us in this day. If you have your Bibles, turn them to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4, the minor prophet. Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 6. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected, now watch it, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Folks, I taught a lesson in March of this year, entitled The Generation That Suffers for Sin. In March of this year, in this classroom, I taught that lesson from Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. You see, folks, we're seeing a generation that lives in turmoil and discontent because those of us that represent the generations before haven't held up the light like we should have of the Word of God and the things of God and the Son of God. And we're raising generations now that know nothing about God and nothing about the things of God, and their lives are in chaos and discontent. They have empty lives. Verse 10 says, "For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord." I believe that God is judging America today. You see, folks, when I say that America is going to remain a nation until the rapture of the church, a leading nation and a friend of Israel to the rapture of the church, I'm not discounting sin. I'm not forgetting about sin. I haven't missed the boat here and said, "Oh, sin doesn't matter. God's got to do what He said He'd do based on the Abrahamic covenant." I'm telling you that I believe that God is judging America, but there's different ways to judge other than just removing America from being a leading nation. And folks, I believe it can get a whole lot worse. And by the way, it looks like it is going to get a whole lot worse for every one of us before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe God is judging because of abortion. I believe that God is judging because of sodomy. I believe that God is judging in the area of allowing turmoil and discontent of heart and mind and soul because so many have forgotten God. I believe that God is judging because of the rising tide of socialism that's threatening to totally overtake the United States of America. Folks, we have a presidential administration today that seems like that their determining factor of their life is to make America a fully and completely socialist society. What is socialism? Socialism is merely a watered down form of communism, is all it is, folks. In socialism, the state is everything as communism. The state is everything and the individual is nothing. In socialism / communism, you notice I consider the two almost exactly the same. In socialism / communism, the state makes all the decisions and the people matter not at all. Socialism destroys initiative and productivity in any society. Socialism promotes laziness. Socialism takes from those who will and gives it to those who will not. That's what socialism does. Socialism caters to the baser part of man's being. He is a poor individual indeed, who looks to and expects the government to take care of all of their needs. Folks, I believe that God is judging today. I believe that socialism is getting a stronghold in America. It's something that we must fight against. I believe that it's getting a stronghold, a foothold, a stronger hold than it's ever had on America, and it's going to touch every area of our life. Government is coming to the place that it wants to be involved in our health care and the decisions we make on that, in our businesses and what we can and can't do and what we can and can't pay. In every area of our life, that's what socialism does. It takes away the freedom of the individual. It takes away initiative and effort, because socialism says it doesn't matter what you achieve, we will not allow you to enjoy that or benefit from it, because if you achieve more than the other fellow, we're going to take that away and give it to someone else. Socialism is a terrible thing and it's wrong. And by the way, why in the world? I've already given you the statistics. The free market enterprise of America has made us the world power economically, an economy of $13.78 trillion. The next closest to us is only a little over $4 trillion. Why in the world would we want to do what they're doing and become like they are? By the way, could I just throw this in because I feel a mean streak coming on? And I've been doing a little study on this and everything. I've been hearing that we need to have a medicine system like some of the other countries, like Great Britain or like Canada or like France, God forbid. And I did a little studying on France. Did you realize that the French pay? I want you to listen to this. The French pay about 19% of their total income on health care. 19%. However, they don't get a tax bill, or they don't, when they get their paycheck, it doesn't say health care 19%. The 19% is done like all nations do it. It's hid among the cumbersome things of government, just like they do us in America here, you know, and everything. They say, well, your tax burden is so much, but yet every time you turn around, there's another kind of a tax on this and another kind of a tax on that, and most of us are not even smart enough to add it all up, you know, figure out exactly what they are getting from us. But the French, when it's all said and done, they're paying 19% of all that they make just on their health care. And guess what? They're on the verge of going bankrupt even at that right now. That was just a little extra. I didn't even intend to say that. So America. I believe America as a nation. Are you listening? I believe America as a nation, like Americans as individuals, is reaping a bittersweet harvest. A bittersweet harvest. Here's what happens in my life. And if you would be honest, it could be happening in your life. The Bible declares, I want to read it. I want to get it just right. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Most of you can quote that. I could before I just said Galatians 6, 7, and 8. It says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Folks, the law of sowing and reaping in the Word of God is an unchangeable principle that applies to both saved and lost. You did realize that? The law of sowing and reaping is an unchangeable principle that applies to both saved and lost. It's very simple. Whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. For the child of God in my life, sometimes I reap things that are not all that pleasant. You know the reason? Because at some point in time, I planted some things that were not right in the eyes of God. I got saved on February the 24th, 1974. I wish I could stand up before you and say, I've done exactly what God wanted every day of my life since I got saved. But oh, what a terrible liar I'd be. Folks, while there's been a real desire and a real effort to try to live for God, there's been some miserable failures. There's been some times when my heart was just not right with God. By the way, there's never been a time when I wasn't in church since I got saved. But folks, you can be not right with God and be in every church service every week. Wow. There's been some times in my life when my heart was not right with God, when my attitude wasn't right, when my thoughts were not what they should have been. There's been some times when I resisted the will of God and the moving of the Holy Spirit in my life, when I knew I should have done differently. There's been some times when I lived for God and I sowed some good things and I'm reaping the results of those good things today. But here's the problem. The problem is, as I look back over time, not only did I sow some good things, but I sowed some things that were not good. good, some things that were not of the Spirit of God, some things that were not in the will of God. And you know what's happened, folks? When I come to this point in my life, I reap sometimes a bittersweet harvest because the law of sowing and reaping has been in effect, and whatever I have been sowing in the past, I'm reaping now, whether good or bad. Folks, that's true in the lives of individuals, and I'm persuaded that it applies to the life of the nation too. See, America's reaping some good things because of the good things we've done, the aspects of the Abrahamic covenant that we fulfilled, the part of the Great Commission up to a point that we've obeyed, the being a compassionate and a peacemaking nation up to a point. But boy, we've got some things that are bad too, don't we? Abortion and sodomy and turmoil and discontent and socialism and on and on and on I could go. By the way, I preached many years ago. I keep all my sermon outlines and I write on them what day I preached it and where I preached it at and everything. And I can remember preaching a message, and I looked at it just recently on pornography. And this has been 20 years ago. And at that time, I'll not give the statistics. Now I can't remember them offhand. I wrote the statistics down at that time. And it was just unreal, the total number of various publications promoting that kind of ungodliness that were rampant in the nation even at that time. Oh, listen. You see, when I preach that, when I teach that America will remain a nation, a world leader, and a friend of Israel up into the rapture, I'm not discounting sin. Folks, I'm not telling you that God is going to ignore our sin because of the fact that we're doing some things good. I'm not trying to tell you that we've got God over a barrel. Why? We're a friend of Israel. God, you got to bless us based on the Abrahamic covenant. I'm not telling you that, folks. I'm not even telling you I know how to divide all these things. I don't have the mind of the Lord in all this. I don't understand exactly how it all fits together. I don't know exactly how all God will move and work. It may get a lot worse for us, though. As citizens, by the way, I left out a statistic here. There's much said today about the national debt of the United States. The best statistic that I could find is this. Our actual national debt, when you add in both funded and unfunded mandates that have been made, things that our governing body, the Congress and the Senate, things that they have declared us to be, when you add it all together, America is about $62 trillion in debt. $62 trillion in debt. What am I saying? I'm saying that even though America, I believe, will remain as a nation, a leading nation until the rapture, it may be not so good for those of us that are citizens of America, even though America is a world power. Our children are being strapped and having a taxation burden put on them that you and I cannot imagine. It may be that our children end up paying 50 and 60% of their income because we live in a day when we have politicians that do not know how to stop spending money. Folks, there's no excuse for not being able to balance the budget. There's no excuse for it. If it's your house or my house, it's pretty simple. If you're spending more money then what you're taking in, something's got to change. You got to stop spending so much money, cut out some things, whatever it is, and make it all work. The government's going to have to do the same thing. the government could do that just by doing away with the waste in government. That's the reason you don't want the government in control of your health care, folks. Because the government uses $100 to do what an individual could do with one. That's the reason. We'll continue here next week.